And now it's time for the Northern Storyteller. Hi, we're the Creek Sisters.
I'm Marcia Taylor.
I'm Vicki Andrews.
And today we're going to be reading from the book, The Tale of Nesta the Crest by Charles Chapman, Blood by David Greenberg, and I'm going to be telling you a story, a Native American tale called Coyote, Who Talks to Himself. The Tale of Nesta the Crest. In the small village of Hemmer lived Nesta. Now Nesta was considered by all to be the village kvetch. Now kvetch is a Yiddish word for complainer, and that's just what Nesta did, complain. From morning till night, nothing was right. When the baker would ask her how she was feeling, Nesta would say,
"Oh, boy, my back, it feels as if I'd carried the wall of Jericho itself. And my feet, let me tell you, they are swollen to the size of melons."
Then the baker would shake his head from side to side. When the dressmaker would ask her how her children were, Nesta would say,
"Oh, boy, my son, he does nothing but read and sit around the house like a bump on a kosher pickle. And my daughter, she only visits me once a month. It's as if I didn't exist the other 29 days."
Then the dressmaker would shake her head from side to side. And when the rabbi would ask Nesta how her home was, Nesta would say,
"If only it were a home, but it's more like a box. Why my late husband couldn't have built a larger house, I'll never know."
Then the rabbi would shake his head from side to side. And so it would go. No matter who was listening, Nesta had something to complain about. Now at one particular moment, Nesta woke up and looked to the heavens and said,
"If only I can have the strength to bear another miserable day."
And as she spoke, her tongue itched. Not an ordinary itch, but a weird, tingly kind of itch.
"What is this itch?"
Nesta crossed her eyes and tried to look at her tongue, but she couldn't see anything unusual. So she went to the kitchen and prepared breakfast. Then she called her son.
"Kamala!"
But he didn't answer.
"Such a lazy boy. Like a bump on a kosher pickle."
Nesta went to her son's room, but he was nowhere to be seen. And there on his bed was a huge green pickle with one great big bump on it. Nesta couldn't believe her eyes. She searched the house for her son, but she couldn't find him.
"Where could he be in this little box of a house?"
And at that, her house groaned and creaked and began to shake. And it was so small that Nesta's head was poking out the front door and her legs were sticking out the windows. Nesta was frantic. She screamed and pulled until she wriggled free.
"I've got to see my daughter and tell her of these strange things. If she remembers her mama."
Well, she ran through the village, and when she reached her daughter's home, she knocked on the door. "Yes? What is it, old woman?"
"What is old woman? I'm your mama."
"You're not my mama," said her daughter, and she quickly slammed the door. Nesta was dumbfounded.
"What is happening?"
She clutched at her heart.
"Isn't it enough that I am not well? That my back aches as if I were carrying the wall of Jericho itself? That my feet are swollen to the size of melons?"
And with that, Nesta's feet became 10-pound melons. She lost her balance and rolled to the ground. And as she fell, a huge wall appeared, pinning her down. She lay there for a good hour, moaning over her dilemma. Suddenly, Nesta heard a voice. "And how is your home?" Then Nesta looked up and she saw the rabbi smiling down at her.
"Oh, rabbi, let me tell you what has happened.
I woke up this morning,
and asked only for the strength to get through another miserable day. I made breakfast and I called my son, who's so lazy he wouldn't even answer. So I went to his room, and instead of him, I find a giant kosher pickle lying on top of the seat that I broke my back so long ago. And then my house, which is like a box, starts to get even smaller and close in on me. And if that's not bad enough, then my daughter, who only visits me once a month, didn't even recognize her mama in her greatest time of need. And if that's not bad enough, my feet not only are swollen to the size of melons, they are melons. And if I don't have enough problems, this wall has decided to make my back its home.
Well, the rabbi shook his head from side to side. I have heard of such cases, he said.
Tell me, did your tongue itch a strange kind of itch this morning?
Yes. The rabbi shook his head again. I'm afraid you have the kvetcher's itch.
The what?
The kvetcher's itch. It happens rarely and only to a kvetch, and it causes everything the kvetch complains about to come true.
Oh, my! I have caused these things to happen with my own words? How can this itch be cured?
It cannot be. You will have it the rest of your life. However, if you praise the good in your life, Nesta, these problems you mention will cease to exist. Well, Nesta frowned, thinking about what the rabbi had said. She didn't quite know how to praise because, quite frankly, she'd never done it before.
Very well, Rabbi. I will try. My son, who is lazy and...
No. Praise your son, Nesta.
My son, who is a good boy, but lays around reading on his bed.
No. Praise, Nesta. Praise.
My son, who is good, reads to his knowledge.
Good.
My house, which is like a box.
No. Praise your house.
My house is snug and well built.
Good.
I'm lucky that my daughter, who is busy with her own family, visits me once a month. And I'm grateful that I am living in good health for a woman of my years.
So at these words, the wall disappeared. Nesta's feet became feet again, and Nesta's daughter opened the door of her house. Mama, I was just coming to see you, she said. Well, when Nesta returned to her home, she found it just as her husband had built it. And when she went to her son's room, there he was, reading a book and smelling just a bit like pickle juice. From that day on, whenever Nesta would start to complain and say,
Oh, yay!
She quickly said instead,
things are good, and I am happy.
And soon, she was.
Slug. Was a slug by its tail or its snout?
Really?
Slide down.
Really? Climb out.
Nibble on its feet,
nibble on its giblets.
Nibble on its belly button.
Nibble on its riblets.
Breakfast?
Slug juice.
Oh, slug soup's great for lunch.
Fry 'em like potatoes.
Love the way they crunch.
Tie one on a leaf.
Take it for a walk.
Take your slug to school today to teach it how to talk.
Hang them from a Christmas tree.
Mix them with your Easter tree.
Carve them like a pumpkin.
Hang them out for tricks or treats.
Put one on a doorknob or on a toilet seat.
Sizzle them on light bulbs. Slap them with your hip.
Dissect the slug with scissors.
Poke one with a tweezer.
One in the microwave.
Squeeze one in the freezer.
Take a slug.
Squeeze a sliver.
Watch it wiggle.
Feel it quiver.
Stuff one in an envelope.
Mail it to your friend.
Or drop one in the blender.
Turn it on to black.
Try a chocolate. Slug first.
Kentucky Fried Slug Legs.
Little Slug Twinkies.
Scrambled small and portable. Just stuff them up your nose.
They're fit to give your eye tip or right to clear your toes.
Fat slugs.
Skinny slugs.
Yes, yes.
Skinny slugs.
Dimpled ones.
Dimpled ones.
Dimpled ones.
Wrinkled ones.
Slugs are very beautiful.
Even chubby pimpled ones.
Here's a slug. Slurp a slug. Ooh, a slug.
To work.
A slug.
Ooh, you have a stomach ache.
Ooh, you can even surf a slug.
Oh.
Up them, poke them, do them, chew them.
Dump them in your mother's bath.
Ask her to shampoo them.
Stuff your slug feet on.
Mix them with spaghetti.
Drop them off your balcony.
Special slug confetti.
Use them in banana chips instead of ripe bananas.
Or put them in your father's polka dot pajamas.
Cover them with toothpaste.
Or chocolate if it's handy.
Then wrap it up in cellophane.
Hey, wash your hair from 10 minutes.
Tie one to a bottle rocket. Once, grapple, dingo.
This one from a slingshot.
To a neighbor's window.
Like to play Monopoly?
Then try the game with slugs.
You'll never have to move them, and they won't run off like bugs.
They're excellent as bookmarks, for polishing and tips. They're comfortable as earplugs, and great for patching loose.
Some are square.
Some have claws.
Some are switched loose.
Some have hair.
Some wear bras.
Some wear three-piece suits. They live in houses.
Sailors.
Slums. Where the slugs sail giant yachts.
Run, you cowboy!
What's up, bum?
Slugs are even astronauts.
Why, there are slugs that know karate.
There are slugs as big as you. And some night when you're fast asleep, this is what they'll do.
They'll grab you by your chin,
and they'll butter you with germs.
Throw you out the window.
They'll mash you up with worms.
They'll chop you into pancakes
and turn you inside out.
So your liver's on the outside,
and your brain is sauerkraut.
Then they'll put you back together.
So your navel's in your nose.
So your feet come out your ears.
And your eyes are on your toes.
Then they'll stuff you in a garbage can
and leave you out all night.
And after how you treated slugs,
it'll surely serve you right.
Coyote, he talks to himself. One day when Coyote was running up and down the canyon, he was pursued by a large pack of wolves. First he had fun. He was running up high and running down low, being chased by the wolves up one canyon and down the next. But after a little while, it seemed a lot less like play and a heck of a lot more like work. Coyote got tired. Figured he'd better find some place to hide. And he went on and on, looking all the while, but couldn't find any place to hide. So he took another canyon, and he ran on and on, getting tireder with every step. Just couldn't find a little cave to hide in, and just about the time he figured he was a goner, saw a little crack in the canyon wall. The cave just big enough for him to squeeze in and leave the wolves outside. Little Coyote, he ran up to that cave and squeezed himself inside. He was safe and sound. Now you think Coyote would be happy. There he was, safe in the cave, snug as a bug, and the wolves outside too big to come in after him. But I tell you, Coyote wasn't in that cave more than 5 minutes, and he started feeling real unhappy. Now one thing you might not know about Coyote, he's not very happy unless he's talking to somebody about himself. Now I know about that sort of thing, but Coyote, I tell you, he really liked to talk about himself. Why, he loved to talk about himself. In fact, if he wasn't talking about himself, he just got feeling crazy. And there he was, in the cave all by himself. He figured the wolves outside weren't interested in what he had to say. After about 5 minutes, he started getting kind of sick to his stomach, kind of unhappy, you know, and after about another 5 minutes, he started feeling twitchy all over, and he figured another 5 minutes and he'd go stark raving nuts. So he thought about it, thought about what he was going to do. Now, the thing that Coyote loves best in life is to brag about himself. And he particularly loves to think about all the different parts of his body and how good they all are. So with this in mind, he quickly came up with an idea of how he could keep himself happy and talk and brag about himself all at the same time. And this is how it went.
Oh, goody. Oh, I like you a lot. Tell me what you did while we were being chased by the wolf. Tell me how you helped me get away.
And his ears, they kind of perked up. You know, they like the dog, too.
Coyote, why are you just sitting up here on top of your head?
Soon as he heard those wolves coming, he said, hey, Coyote, cut wolves, come and get away, get away.
Oh, yes. Oh, goodness. Oh, you did so good. Thank you so much.
Then Coyote thought about his feet.
Ooh, he said, oh, good feet. Oh, I do like you a lot. And what did you do while you were being chased by the wolves?
His feet, they kind of twitched underneath him.
Coyote, why are you just sitting down here underneath you?
Soon as we thought those wolves were coming close, why we ran all that much faster? How'd you get up in this cave and get away from those wolves?
Oh, good feet. I do like you a lot.
Then Coyote thought about his nose.
Nose, he says, good nose, oh, I do like you a lot.
Now, I know you did something good, so tell me what it was. Lizzie Nose took a great big long sniff at the air.
Coyote, why were you just sitting up here in front of everything?
Why, we were the first ones to know those wolves were coming, and as soon as we did, we said, hey, Coyote, wolves coming, get away, get away.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness, thank you so much.
Then Coyote thought about his eyes. Now his eyes were his favorite part.
Eyes, he said. Oh, good eyes. Oh, I do like you a lot. Now, I know you did something real important, so tell me what it was.
And his eyes, they didn't say anything for a second or two. They just kind of half closed.
Coyote, while you were just sitting up here, watching everything,
soon as we saw that little crack in the canyon, while we knew it was a good place for your hide, and he said, hey, Coyote, get up in that cave and get away from those wolves.
Oh, I couldn't have done it without you. Thank you so much.
Well, it wasn't too long before Coyote went through just about all the different parts of his body, bragging to him and congratulating him and all. But he left one part out. And that part was his tail. Now, the reason Coyote left out his tail was, you see, Coyote, he didn't like his tail. In fact, he hated it. Why, he hated his tail so much that normally he just pretended it wasn't there. But there he was, all by himself in the cave, to talk to everybody else. He figured he might as well just talk to it, too. And this is how it went.
Oh, yeah, tail. Might as well tell me what you did. Probably nothing.
Now, Coyote's tail knew how Coyote felt about him, so he thought he'd just have a little bit of fun in the time. Started waving, you
know? Coyote! Come on, we were just sitting back here, back over, just waving our little white flag, saying, here I am,
Well, Coyote, he heard that, he got bitten mad, he started screaming and hollering at his tail, tried to turn around and bite it, but the cave was too small. And that made Coyote even madder. Why, he got crazy mad. He started spitting and screaming and swearing and cussing. Why, he didn't know what he was doing. All of a sudden, he started backing out of that cave tail first. And all the while, his tail was saying,
be. First, it is the end of that tale. And then, I'm sorry to say, it is the end of Coyote. And now, it's the end of this tale, too. Coyote, he talks to himself. You've been listening to a story told to me by my good friend and fellow storyteller, John Beckler. The other stories you've been listening to were an adaptation of The Tale of Mr. Victor by Carol Chapman, published by E.T. Dutton, and Blood by David Greenberg, published by Little Brown and Company. Northern Storyteller is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Our program is coordinated by Ron Eloy and produced by Robert Jeff Dillon. The executive producer is Carla Tinella. And we're the Creek Sisters. I'm Monica Turner. I'm Vicki Andrews. So long! Thank you.